I am going to talk today a little bit about successes and lessons learned from the NACHO/CBC Accreditation Support Initiative. It's a demonstration site project that NACHO administered with funds from the CDC OSTILTS office. And NACHO has been in the business of providing demonstration site projects to health departments pursuing this concept of accreditation since long before FAB was even an apple in anybody's eye. So this was our latest round of demonstration sites projects. We've learned a lot from it. Now that FAB is live, it's sort of a whole different ballgame. So I'm excited to share some information with you. So what I'm going to talk about in the next 20-ish minutes is a background and description of the ASI. It's what we affectionately refer to the initiative as. I'm going to provide some example work of what the agencies we funded did, talk about some successes and some lessons learned from the process. Okay, so just a little background and description of the Accreditation Support Initiative. The funding came from the Centers for Disease Control, and NACHO passed the funding on to health departments, so their contracts were with us. The purpose overall was to increase readiness of health departments, and that's all health departments, local, state, and tribal. Most of you know that NACHO works with local health departments, and ASTO works with state health departments, and then the National Association of National Indian Health Board provides TA to tribal health departments, but NACHO funded all three of these through the CDC dollars in this initiative. And then we also provided support to support organizations, and when I say that, I mean SACHOs, public health institutes, state health associations that have a proven track record of providing TA to local health departments. So the intent of funding those support organizations was to get resources to local health departments. The three areas that we sort of funded with this initiative were prerequisites and FAB documentation, so folks who just, you know, needed to finish their prerequisites, start their prerequisites, that sort of stuff. Accreditation fees. Health departments were allowed to use the funding for up to half of their FAB fees as long as they were applying by May 2012. This initiative started last fall and ended in May, so if they were going to be applying by then, they could use the funds for that. And then other accreditation readiness activities. So obviously the spectrum of activities was very broad, and we were happy to be able to support folks just where they needed it. There were two separate ASIs. One was for health departments and support organizations, and that was a competitive process for the whole country. We had about 135 applications, I think, for that, and funded 7 health departments and 5 support organizations. And then we had a separate funding stream from the Affordable Care Act that funded large metropolitan local health departments. And so that was an invite-only application to communities that served 1.5 million or more people. In total, the whole initiative was just under $1 million. So NACHO and the CDC are very proud of the great breadth of work we were able to do with a relatively small amount of money, considering, you know, it got at health departments all across the country. So the health departments and support organizations we funded were either public health departments or organizations that assist local or tribal health departments. We ended up funding 7 and 5 support organizations. And those awards varied from $14,000 to $40,000, and that was just based on what they asked for. Some health departments had a very specific, you know, QI training program they wanted to implement, so we funded that. Some wanted to support an accreditation coordinator and pay the fees, and so that was a larger amount. That's how that was decided. The large metropolitan jurisdictions, as I said earlier, was limited, invite only. We also excluded the health departments that were receiving direct funding from NIFI, which Liza mentioned, so the really large health departments, LA County, New York City, those communities, just because they were already getting the large amount of funding from NIFI. We required that those large metropolitan health districts provide support to a connector site, and that's a smaller local health department in its region or jurisdiction. So, you know, we are excited about the work you're doing to prepare yourself for accreditation, but we know most of us, whatever state we're in, the smaller health departments really look to those bigger, large metropolitan areas for guidance and a lot of things. So we were excited about that. And 4 of these were funded at $62,000. And then we also funded 2 additional sites at $31,000 each who applied through the larger Accreditation Support Initiative application. So they weren't eligible for the large metropolitan jurisdiction because they were under $1.5 million. But we moved some funding to support those, and I'll show you who they were in a second. Okay, so the locals that we funded through the ASI, the competitive one, was Erie County in Pennsylvania, Madison County in Kentucky, Missoula City County in Montana, Idaho North Central District, Oneida County in Wisconsin, Worcester County in Maryland, and a Yellow Hawk Tribal Health Center in Oregon. So as you can see, very geographically spread out, different size populations. Five support organizations I discussed earlier, New York and North Dakota's SACHO, so State Associations for County and City Health Officials, Missouri Institute for Community Health, and many of you probably know Missouri Institute for Community Health administers the statewide accreditation program, so they have a lot of a proven track record of supporting accreditation, Iowa Department of Public Health, and then the Intertribal Council of Arizona to support the tribal health departments in their region. And the large metro health departments we funded were Harris County, which is Houston, Texas, Miami-Dade in Florida, Seattle, King in Washington, Southern Nevada, which is the health district that encompasses Las Vegas, and then Columbus and St. Louis are the two I mentioned earlier who were funded through the large metropolitan health department funding, but applied through the other accreditation support initiative funding. Okay, so now that you kind of know about the project, I wanted to just talk a little bit about what these sites did. As I mentioned earlier, this project began in fall of 2011 and ended in May of 2012, so it was a pretty accelerated timeline, and the health departments knew this when they applied. So some of the areas where we saw a lot of work from the local and tribal health departments were establishing documentation storage systems. A lot of folks either purchased a large server to store documentation or set up a way to store it outside of EFAB so that they could be totally ready before they actually submitted to FAB. Some of our health departments used it for their fees. Like I said earlier, they were able to use it for half of their fees. And in order to receive funding for that, they had to show us support from their governing entity to pay the other half. We saw a lot of work on CHAs and CHIPs, the prerequisites, which are also Domain 1 and Domain 5, and strategic planning. And this was around training around strategic planning, but also the production of the strategic plan, that sort of thing. We saw a few health departments evaluate public health laws. That's in Domain 6. There's a lot of documentation required for that domain that we know health departments don't have at hand currently, so they did a lot of work to improve that. We saw some workforce development plan implementation, and that's both improving the plan and also improving the offerings that their health department has with respect to workforce development training. So we were excited to see some of that. A lot of the larger health departments did work with their performance management systems, which was exciting to see the robust indicators they were able to generate and things like that. And then we saw some work around QI plans, QI training, QI projects, and charters. So really getting the health department staff involved in the QI processes outside of just having a plan and implementing it with senior leadership, et cetera. Some of the work we saw from the support organizations, they did a lot of education and training on accreditation and the application process. So a lot of these state health institutes, state health associations, went to locals in the state and explained to the staff what accreditation is, why it's important, to generate that buy-in and get folks excited. We saw with some of the tribal health support organizations, we saw an assessing of the readiness. As Liza mentioned earlier, there's one tribe currently in the FAB application process, but in general, we haven't seen as many interested, so we assessed some readiness there, which was exciting. They also created a tribal-specific health improvement planning toolkit. So as most of you probably know, most of the CHIP resources available out there are for locals or states, and so this is a really exciting resource specifically for tribes to get at some of the nuances and differences you see in health improvement planning for tribes. There was assessing of performance management readiness and recommendation providing, lots of QI and strategic planning training done to a small number of health departments in the state. As you all know, quality improvement training and strategic planning training, you can do a one-day training and folks will like it, but in order to actually ingrain quality improvement in an organization's culture, it requires a lot of follow-up from the instructor, a lot of work when the project's designated staff time, and so with this funding, a lot of the state support organizations were able to do that. And then also just providing TA as health departments in their state were developing CHAs and CHIPs and needed that data Lee referenced or just needed someone to come give a presentation and get the community partners involved and things like that. So they were able to provide a lot of planned trainings and then also a lot of flexible TA as well, and we're very grateful for that. At some of the larger health departments, we saw a lot of completion of the MAP process. As many of you know, a lot of us start community health improvement plan, and then someone leaves, or there's, you know, a new agency direction, and so a lot of folks felt that with just a small amount of funding, they could really get through the process and start the community health improvement planning implementation. So that was exciting to see those finish. We saw a lot of identification of performance indicators. I mentioned this earlier, a lot of the large health departments have really robust performance management systems, so it was exciting to fund them having specific indicators. A lot of strengthening of the linkages between QI plans and strategic plans. Training in QI, like I mentioned earlier, a lot of our sites did this. One of our large health departments developed a training annex to link to their workforce development plan, so they were able to come up with a really systematic way of getting their employees training updated and developed more strongly. And then we saw, I think Lee mentioned this earlier, establishment of accreditation networks of local health departments in a lot of these states. And that peer support has just been really useful for lots of states across the country. Okay, so we had quite a few successes. I just put a few up here. Five of our sites applied to FAB, which is exciting. They're in the process now of getting their documentation uploaded. I think one or two are working on the site visit part right now. We had lots of folks complete their prerequisites, which, as you all know, is a huge step to getting ready for accreditation. Documentation storage systems were created. A lot of documentation was able to be revised and aligned with FAB standards and measures. So a lot of you know your health departments are doing the work that FAB requires, but some of the formats are not as you would want, or maybe your CHA is missing a few certain components. So they were able to provide designated staff time to work on those things through our funding. Formation of statewide groups, templates developed for strategic plans and workforce development plans. So as NATO, we were really excited about that because that's something other health departments can use as they take on these large projects. So we have an example documentation repository that includes a lot of these templates and a lot of examples of what folks in the field are submitting for accreditation. And then increased staff participation in QI projects. As I mentioned earlier, a lot of our sites had started QI, had done a one-off training for managers, and just weren't seeing the buy-in from staff as much as they wanted. So with this funding, they were really able to form those staff teams, provide support to those teams as they did the projects, and monitor the improvements. On the right side of the screen, it's more sort of what NATO saw from this and what we gained from this. We got a lot of example documentation, which I mentioned earlier. Some of it's up online already, and we're in the process of getting the rest of it up there. We heard a lot of improved communication at agencies. A lot of these health departments used the funds to provide more time for their accreditation coordinator to be the accreditation coordinator. So if any of you are accreditation coordinators, you'll know that it's maybe 0.2, 0.25 of your time. And so with this funding, they were able to give that, pay half of someone's salary. And so with that more time, a lot of the health department staff used, created sort of newsletters or communication systems, ways of telling the staff what's going on. And so we saw a lot of improved communication in agencies, which we were excited about. And that led to more staff engagement and buy-in. And then 100% of our sites agreed that the funding allowed them to increase their readiness in a way that they couldn't have done without this funding. So we were really excited about that, especially because, as we talked about earlier, it's relatively a small amount of funding. It was, less than a full-time salary, definitely. So I just wanted to tell you all briefly about our website. If you go to NATO's accreditation website, which is nato.org/accreditation, in the Learn About FAB section, we have just descriptions of all the demonstration sites we've ever funded and what they've done. And our accreditation, our ASI site, has a listing of all the health departments. And then when you click on each one, so if you click on Missoula City County Health Department, it pulls up their final report so you can sort of see what they did from their point of view. And then it also pulls up their key deliverables, so the CHA that they finished, the staff communication newsletter template that they developed. We have all those things up there by site, so lots of folks have found those interesting and useful. And we did learn a few lessons. We are about to start our second iteration of the Accreditation Support Initiative, which I'll talk about next, but we're incorporating all these lessons learned into that. Work plans and timelines are great, and you know we still require them, but we've learned that we need to stay flexible. There's always going to be staff turnover or the West Nile virus or something like that that makes the timeline kind of not stick on course. We also we've built in extra time for contracting and invoicing, just because on our end, on the health department's end, there's always going to be some issues with that. We realized that creating new documentation to ensure FAB compliance takes a lot longer than most people think. everyone's like, oh, we just have to get our minutes so that they, we're all in the same format. And that takes more work than everybody thinks. So this year when we are making our contracts with our new sites, we're going to make sure everyone has ample time to work on these things. Again, staff engagement is absolutely essential to the process, and everybody reported that it was more work than they expected to get staff excited, because as we all know, we all have a million hats to wear, and our public health funds are stretched right now. Health officer involvement is also crucial, and we found this especially at the smaller health departments. The ones with staff, I think, of less than 25 definitely indicated that if they didn't have the support of their health officer, none of this would have worked. And again, like I mentioned earlier, the QI, or performance management training, really takes more than a one-day session for managers. It really takes a lot of training with staff and a lot of work from a designated staff person. With that, I'll just wrap it up by talking about we are about to start our second year of the funding. The RFA was out in September, I think, and sites were informed last week. So if any of you all applied and you didn't hear last week whether you got it or not, let me know. The contracts are currently being developed. Again, we're trying to get a large spectrum of projects funded, so from prereq work to funding fees to, performance management assessments and things like that. And as soon as the contracts are finalized, we'll have the sites up on the website with what they plan to do with the funds. So we're very excited. And with that, I think I will turn it over.